702 Series Edition.
Series Edition on Once in a Lifetime Experiences. Today's episode 3, and we're talking about thrilling adventures of a lifetime. We're joined by the managing director of Cruise Vacations, Gaynor. Neil Gaynor, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Very excited to be here. Thank you.
I have to be honest, I'm not much of an adventure person until I leave the border. I don't know what happens when you travel. I remember in my early 20s, my 21st gift to myself was seeing the west of Europe. And I jumped off of a gondola in Switzerland. I did crazy things that I still don't know who that woman was. I doubt I would do such things today, but I love hearing about adventure. And maybe when my child is old enough to take care of himself, I'll go back to risking my life and see what my insurance has to say about that. But this is so exciting. And I'm wondering, do you think that, especially in the space of adventures, that people are becoming more adventurous because we are so exposed via social media to these experiences we didn't even know existed before?
It's exactly, you make a very good point. Social media has probably driven the adventure travel business hugely. Back in the day where it was sort of the mainstream or the big hitters that everyone wanted to go visit, now people are looking more at a more immersive or experiential, you know, travel experience. And that's what we're finding, and it drives our business, especially working with expedition cruising.
Yes.
Which obviously encourages adventure travel. Not always extreme.
Yes.
I suppose adventure is subjective. You know, what is adventure to one person? You know, it differs from person to person.
Adventure for me is waking me up at 5 a.m. when I'm on holiday. That's extreme.
With a butler serving you breakfast.
Oh, now that I am going to welcome. But what I love about the time we're living in, I mean, I think back then, you would arrive in a destination. I think my friend and I met up in Paris, and we literally went to the train station to get the brochure that shows all the places the train stops. And we just said, okay, this is where we're going to go. We will start here, and then we will go to Italy, then we will go to Netherlands, then we will go, and that's how we mapped out our trip. There was no going online because we were on our Nokia 3110s at the time.
The bricks.
Right, and searching and trying to see, and Facebook was quite new. If you wanted to log on to something, we weren't lugging around laptops.
No.
You would go to an internet cafe to kind of be like, by the way, I've just landed in Rome, or whatever the case may be. What I love now is if you want to go and experience anything, you literally just search on TikTok and 50 million people that look like you will say, oh, I tried it and this is what it's like.
Well, that's it. My early experiences was a book called Let's Go. You used to buy and then you would look in the guide and...
Was the cover red?
The cover was red and you would choose and, like you say, fumble around on trains. And that was quite fun when you're young. The beauty now, especially with these expedition ships, is you'll have a scouting team that will have gone out years in advance to extract the very best of those destinations. So it's all pre-planned for you. Various options of different things that you can do. So it's all taken care of for you. You don't need to bother fumbling around with Let's Go guides and train tickets and getting lost. Although sometimes that's still fun. For the younger set, definitely.
And I'm glad that you shared that adventure is subjective. Every single time we talk about anything to do with travel or related to experience, we always will have people write to say, what about those of us that are retired? Is it okay for us to go there? And just last week in our masterclass, we were speaking about an expedition to Antarctica and how it's a 5-hour flight away. And I was like, firstly, who's giving me 1.4 million rand to go to the South Pole? Conversation for another day. But let's talk about when people do come to you, do they usually come having already figured out what they want to do? Or do you get people who say, I've got 100 grand and I'm alone and I want some adventure. Just send me where it's warm.
Yeah, we get a bit of both of that. Obviously, we've been doing this for many years, so we are experts and we like to consult and we like to advise. Obviously, budget for this level of cruising is way up there.
Yes.
But you made a very good point just now, and the one benchmark that we use for expedition cruising, because people think that you have to be Bear Grylls or Laura Croft to go and do
You don't. So, we're like, I would not be able to hike up that thing.
I certainly wouldn't. No, but so what they do, and this is another thing, is it's in fact the benchmark that we use for expedition is if you are comfortably able to ascend or descend a flight of stairs. That is really the benchmark of fitness. In other words, it covers a lot of ages. I think, you know, older people feel that it's not suitable or it's a little bit too adventurous. They break the activities into fitness levels. So they have a variety. They run from minimal to moderate to extensive to adventure. Now, I definitely sit in the minimal and moderate arena. Yes. Adventure is your more extreme. So that is your shark cage diving, your polo plunge, your kayaking in the ice and that sort of thing. You have to be quite fit for those. Moderate, they do all sorts of cultural experiences, culinary experiences. So you might, which is also nice for couples traveling together or friends traveling together. You might have completely different interest levels, but there'll be something that actually will cover both interest levels in the same on the same voyage, and that's quite a nice aspect.
Definitely. I actually heard it. I'm not sure if you know about it, but there's this company that does. It's a trip where you don't know where you're going. All they send you is a list of things to pack. So even at the airport, it's not labeled anything. You get on the flight and you don't know how long you're going to be in the flight for. All the things that show you where you're traveling until you land. And then the pilot says, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to. And they announce the country you're in. Is that very extreme?
Yeah. For me. Yeah.
Very right.
My nature would allow me to do it out of curiosity and spontaneity. But it just, I would just wonder what, if they would highlight the fitness levels, because that's where I would be scared. If I'm going to be ziplining down mountains, then I might run away and get my Let's Go book out again, go catch a train.
I must actually get the details and see if we can chat to them about how it works, because I think they make you fill out a questionnaire. But I would actually laugh my head off if you get to Oro Tambo, they've told you it's very hot, low fitness level, humid, tropical weather, pack for that. Then you fly for 15 hours and they say, welcome to Limpopo. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about these thrilling adventures.
702 Series Edition.
It's episode 3 of our Series Edition on Once in a Lifetime Experiences. And today we're talking thrilling adventures with Managing Director of Cruise Vacations, Gaynor Neal. And we're speaking earlier around the different levels of adventure that people have, because of course we want to speak a variety of experiences for all type of individuals. You might not be a retiree. You might just be someone who says, guys, I'm not trying to feel like I'm at work, but I do want some excitement in my life. So let's start at the most mild type of experiences that you get to offer when people come through. So let's say a person says, I've just retired. I have not really gone anywhere. I'm not going to even limit the season. Keep the fitness level moderate, but I want all types of adventure, physical, food. If it's a delicacy, I want a bit of danger. I want a bit of risk, but I mustn't die.
You're definitely looking at an expedition cruise is an excellent place to start. Bearing in mind it's from pole to pole and everything in between. So yes, we do the North Pole and the South Pole, but they have to position to those regions in between. So
yes,
they include some around Europe and Iceland, the fjords. You can go out to the South Pacific if we want to go as probably far away as we can get from South Africa. That is one of the furthest flung destinations. You can, we've got the Galapagos Islands. We have a ship there year round in the Galapagos, a custom built, bespoke ship for that region. And, we also do the Kimberleys, and not the Kimberley that we know with the large hole.
I was about to say, you're bringing my nightmares up.
No, we do the Australian Kimberleys,
yes,
up in the northwest of Australia with the saltwater crocs. And on each of those voyages, you cover what you spoke about now is a variety of activities that suit a variety of interests. So you'll have some people that can go off on the extreme, what are they called, the super jeeps, and do dunes and tour around a volcano in a super jeep. As I mentioned before, kayaking is very, very popular on most of our cruises. Everything is catered for. All the equipment is provided. Or you can do a trip to and I'm smiling at you, but to a wine farm and do a wine and cheese tasting at a local wine farm, or a culinary experience with traditional foods. You can
Who told you I like wine?
No, you just smiled at me when I said I did.
Yes.
You can spend a day with an Inuit tribe in Greenland in the high Arctic, and while they go fishing and sit round a campfire. And I often wonder if luxury is all chandeliers and caviar, or if luxury is about those type of experiences that really, where else could you do that? You know, so, but on each of those destinations, there's such a variety of different activities that suit different fitness levels. For, like I say, the very high adventure, some very extreme hikes and hiking. And obviously, if wildlife is another thing. I mean, there's species. We're a very wildlife fanatical country, but to go to other countries where you experience endemic species, bird species that you don't, you know, obviously are not local to us. So it covers a huge variety of interests and a huge spectrum of fitness levels, which is, you know, it's all encompassing, which is really a great thing.
So in terms of these expeditions, I mean, do they all leave from South Africa, or you have to fly somewhere depending on what the expedition is? And what is the longest one that you have available?
So I've just completed a week and a half ago a part of a South African expedition. It was our ship that had returned from the Antarctic, came this way across the Atlantic, and it was actually a groundbreaking expedition in Southern Africa.
Wow.
Calling it Saldana as an inaugural for any cruise ship, and Hermanus. And so we do have some that leave South Africa, both our classic and expedition ships, as part of the season. But generally, the ships are seasonally located around the world. So the furthest afield I think we have is the South Pacific, in terms of distance from here, and the Galapagos Islands. You've got to get yourself all the way to Ecuador. But there are some closer. We have some in Europe, and obviously the Arctic, the North Pole, is quite easy for us, easily accessible. Antarctic, as the crow flies, is straight across the Atlantic Ocean, as you know.
Yes.
When I did it, it was just a year and a half ago, but there were no direct flights to South America, so I did a 56-hour flight each way.
That sounds painful.
It was, but it was worth every hour.
My goodness. And do people come and share with you certain passions that they have? So let's say, you know, when you were speaking around wildlife, some people have a passion for photography of birds.
Yes.
Do some of them come to you to say, I actually am obsessed with this particular thing, can we incorporate that as much as possible?
Yes, they do. So birding in particular is a very popular, we have, I think they're called twitchers, actually, is the people that go around and look for bird species. You know, there's, like I said, there's some endemic species in places around the world. So birding is one. Galapagos Islands is very, very popular for wildlife, because wildlife, it's so protected that it literally integrates with you. So yes, people go, we profile people. We ask a lot of questions, what their interest levels are, and that gives us an indication as to which trip would be most suitable.
When we talk the most extreme of offerings, are we talking visiting a live volcano that could be erupting at any moment, or what are we talking about?
It's a good question, because with expedition, quite often it's slightly unplanned, if that makes sense. Now, don't get me wrong, they're very well scouted and the itineraries and voyages planned. But for example, and I'll use the Antarctic again as an example, there is no set itinerary. Once you're on the Antarctic Peninsula, they don't say this day we'll be doing this and this day we'll be doing that. And they obviously have to follow weather patterns and conditions, because they're very changeable.
Yes.
And so the experience is very open. So once you get to the peninsula, they will tell you in the daily briefing, according to conditions, where you'll be going the next day. And that will depend what you might see, whether it's humpback whales or the different varieties of penguin. Sometimes just the ice sculptures alone, you could spend an entire day just enjoying those. So expedition, we had one a couple of years ago where they got word of a volcano in eruption. It was near Bangladesh, if I'm not mistaken. And they actually changed their heading. And so that the guests on board got a view of this volcanic eruption. So that's the kind of thing that they do. They will extract the best out of the experience. They're in radio contact with other vessels in the area. In the Arctic, for example, if they spot polar bears, it's a bit like a game drive.
Yes.
Other ships in the area might radio and say they've spotted polar bears at such and such a position, and the ships will head that way to see if they can see them.
So how many people would be on a typical expedition cruise?
Okay, so expedition tends to be smaller. Also, there's restrictions in particularly the polar regions with the numbers of people that can travel. Our ships are 200 to 250 passengers maximum.
Okay, that's a lot more than I thought. I thought when you like can be very small, but are you speaking in relation to like your Maximus cruise ships?
Correct. I mean, you might have seen there was a lot of news about the Icon of the Seas that launched recently in Miami. I think it's 8,000 odd passengers.
Yes.
The Royal Caribbean ship. So, and that has its own market.
That's like 9 months, the nine-month cruise.
That's right. It's a very, very, very large vessel. So these are just a tiny, tiny little vessels in comparison. They're boutique ships.
Yes.
Because the experience is very interactive and one-on-one. Remember, you're traveling with a lot of scientists. You know, the crew are geologists, marine biologists, yes, astronomers. So you have experts with accompanying you on all the voyages.
Which sounds a lot more interesting for many people than going to the same restaurant and watching cowboy dances and all of those other things. And no diss to them at all.
No, I agree.
There's a time for everything and for different people. So let's talk about what is the minimum amount a person should be looking at putting away for your entry level. And then let's say Patrice Motsepe adopts me. What's the limit?
Okay. These are not inexpensive. They're all inclusive, fully inclusive. And it's priced in dollars for an expedition, probably a minimum of $7,000 US per person.
That's not as bad as I thought it would be.
That's not, I mean, Antarctic, you're going up to probably the 12,000. I'm giving you very off the cuff.
Yes.
Because there's, in fact, with Silver Sea, we're running a promotion at the moment.
Yes.
So we run promotions. And
so you're looking at starting from around 150,000 Rand per person for a boutique experience that's all inclusive.
Yes.
Meaning that meals, boarding, everything is included.
Yes.
And you will get a few surprises along the way.
Correct.
How expensive can we go? Because the Antarctic South Pole one, I was told about 1.4 million.
Yes.
Do you have experiences that go a bit more than that?
So we do, but also bear in mind that these the vessels that we use have different categories of accommodation.
Yes.
It's all suite accommodation. So no matter which, your entry level is suite as well.
Yes.
And they're fully inclusive. So yes, everything once you're on board, your meals, your gratuities, all drinks, and all the experiences and excursions are included.
Yes.
As well. So it's pay more before you go, pay less by the time you come home is the way we like to put it. But it's not an inexpensive, it's a once in a lifetime experience, definitely.
Which is exactly what the series is all about. And yes, I think the point of this is every episode, take a listen and add these to your bucket list experiences. Yes. You never know where you might find yourself in life, what opportunities may arise for you to get an opportunity. How do we get in touch with Cruise Vacations?
So we are on social media at Cruise Vacations SA. Website is www.cruise-vacations.co.za, and we're on 011-514-0564.
And there really are so many thrilling excursions. Some are scenic, some Silver Sea expeditions. You can be a sailor for a day. Just head over to the website. Don't knock it until you try it. cruise-vacations.co.za.